So what I'm going to do with you, I want to talk to you about intercessory prayer and standing in the gap, and I want to use Daniel as you know, as the model that he gives. I think to me, of all the different scripture verses that talk about intercessory prayer, I think Daniel's, you know, intercessory prayer in the book of Daniel is just, to me, the very best. And I'm talking about the tornadoes that hit this past week. So here, I'm going to have you go with me to Daniel chapter 9. And I just want you to look at a few passages with me. And my prayer tonight is that you would join me. Folks, you know, we're having a prayer meeting next, was it May 10th? On Friday night. And, you know, you can come and you can spend the full 4 hours here praying, I think 7 to 10 or 7 to 11, or you can come and you can pray for 15 minutes. You know, there's no amount of time, whatever you can do. But I want to say this to you. Praying for our country and being an intercessor and standing in the gap is not something that I do at an occasional prayer meeting. It's something I do every day and sometimes multiple times a day. That it's just it's a passion, it's a burden that's on my heart, because I'm concerned at what's going to happen, and I'm concerned for my children. I'm not concerned about me. I can go, I can go to be with the Lord right now, and you know, there's no regrets. But I'm concerned about my children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, and you know, the generations that will follow. I'm concerned about them. And so let's look again, Daniel. First thing and first key point, intercessory prayer is in response to the word. So in verses 1 and 2, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Assaharias, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years and the desolations of Jerusalem. So essentially, intercessory prayer and what happens and what follows in this chapter is that it is the word of God that this intercessory prayer flows from. It is centered in the word of God. It is centered in God's word, in God's will. That is where he is being driven to pray. And here he is praying for the restoration of Israel. He's praying that it would be restored and the people would return to Israel from essentially from Persia, okay, the Medo-Persia Empire. Again, they were exiled during the Babylonian Empire. The Medios, the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. So that is the thing that drives us. I think that one thing in praying and interceding right now is to see, when we talk about the wrath of God coming upon a land, it's not something he takes pleasure in. Right? What does God want? I think God would love to see, and I pray this every day, I pray for a revival of America. I pray for the renewal of America. I pray that America would have a reformation, not a revolution. And that I pray for the protection of America. But I pray that people would come and turn towards God. So just Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? I think as far as like the word of God goes, that should be our major like springboard and motivation as to why we're praying. We're praying. We don't want to see what a majority of people in this country perish. Not only die physically, but be cast into hell. Second point, intercessory prayer is characterized by zeal. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, then I set my face towards the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I just want you to see, this is a passion. He is essentially impassioned. He is, you know, it is intense. You ever pray for a loved one who is ill? And when my son was diagnosed with cancer, I mean, talk about praying all day long, nonstop. My wife, myself, our family. You're consumed, you know, you're consumed with prayer for, you know, for a loved one. Or you're praying for the salvation of a lost loved one. You know how it consumes you. He says, sackcloth and ashes. That's a picture of grief, of sorrow, of repentance, of humility. Back looking at Moses, what does Moses say? Thus I prostrated myself before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. I kept prostrating myself because the Lord had said he would destroy you. Again, it's a picture of zeal. Nehemiah, right? When Nehemiah went before King Artaxerxes, and he was asking that he could be sent with some men and with some resources to be able to build the wall around Jerusalem. And Nehemiah 1:4, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. And I was fasting and praying before God, the God of heaven. And so he said, when you stand in the gap, when God puts it on your heart to intercede for someone or something or for a nation, this is not going to be a once a week prayer time that you're going to have. It's not going to be just coming to a special prayer meeting. It's life consuming. Like you say this, I am praying for this nation day and night right now because I believe there is a storm coming and it could be an absolute devastating storm. Third key thing here, intercessory prayer is dependent on God's character. So we're crying out to God for his mercy, right? And you look here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 4, and I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. What is mercy? Mercy is that God does not give us as human beings what we deserve. We deserve his wrath. We've rebelled, right? We deserve hell. And crying out for mercy, God has been merciful to every one of us in this room. He has not given us what we deserve. You understand the difference? Grace is that God gives to us what we don't deserve. So he gives us, all, in fact, I say this, everything in my life is a gift of grace. And everything that I have not experienced in my life, the punishment and the wrath, you know, the condemnation, is again a gift of his mercy. In verse 7, of Daniel chapter 9, he says, O Lord, righteousness belongs to you. Again, he's talking about the character of God. God is merciful, God is righteous, but to us shame a face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all of Israel, those near and those far off, and all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. But God is a God of righteousness. God is a God whose judgments are righteous. And when God brought the flood upon the earth, that was a righteous judgment. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a righteous judgment. When he brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt, those were righteous judgments. Right? The Assyrian captivity and Babylonian captivities of Israel, those were righteous judgments upon his people, Israel, because of their sin. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. So again, when we intercede, when we stand in the gap, we're crying out to God, to a righteous God, to a merciful God, to a forgiving God, to forgive, right, those we're praying for. It could be ourselves as well. But we're calling upon his character, his nature. Now, the fourth, intercessory prayer is strengthened by confession. So in verse 5 through 15, notice he says here, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke. Notice just Daniel, we. He's confessing the sins of Israel, including himself, right, in this group. who spoke in your name to the kings and our princes, to our fathers, to all the people of the land, all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his ways, which he set before us by his servant the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and have departed so as to not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out on us. God said he would do that. Right, we're going through Deuteronomy. You hear that all the time. He said, if you don't obey me, you're going to experience curses. Your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in Moses' law, the servant of God, has been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us all this great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought you people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Now, he confesses the sins of his nation. What are the sins of our nation? I want to start. Judgment begins with who? The house of the Lord. What is the last church in the seven church time periods, right? Laodicea. I say this all the time. We are a part of Laodicea. And don't think that there aren't people here who are Laodicean Christians. They're lukewarm, right? They say they're fine. They don't need to be here tonight, folks. They don't need to be in prayer every day. They don't need to be in the Word every day. They don't need to be sharing Jesus with people every day. They don't need to because they're fine. I see them floating in and out. The Laodicean church is the modern church of the world right now. Don't look too hard at that picture. But that is, it's the church, it is lukewarm Christianity. It's show, it's theater, it's a performance. You know, right now, just in the training, and some of the training I went through years ago about church growth, and this was all about, you need to grow a big church. It's about people. It's about how much money you can raise, how many people you can put in the seats. Don't talk about sin. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about living a righteous life. Make sure you use a lot of funny stories and entertain them. Keep them feeling good about themselves and laughing. Don't bring them to a place of repentance. That's the church of Laodicea. That's the church, the greater church that we're in. Abortion. You see people fighting, women. Abortion is health care. What about the health of the baby? I've asked women who are pro-abortion, I've said to them, have you ever met a human being who wishes that his mother had aborted him or her in the womb? I've never met anybody who said, well, I just wish my mother had taken me to the abortion mill and had me aborted. I've never met a human being like that. And as you see right now, they will fight like hell for the right to kill their babies. I just want you to stop and just think about that. And look, I understand, you know, the scenarios that are thrown. What if a woman is raped? What if the woman is sick? And she, and that's a tiny percentage. But they will, I say fight like hell, because it is something out of hell. They will fight like hell for the right to murder their babies. They want that right to murder their babies. And now, of course, the media never portrays it that way, right? It's about reproductive rights. It's about the woman's health care. It has nothing to do with the woman's health care. What about right now, this whole transgender, agenda, which is being pressed upon these little children, changing their sexual organs, because you can't change your gender. But the mutilation of the little ones, and in many places right now, in states where they don't even have to tell their parents, do it right through the school system. Now, this may be a small one, but it really ticks me off. How about men competing against women in athletics? I can't believe this. There's this one guy in Long Island playing basketball with a bunch of, eighth grade girls, and he ended up seriously injuring two of them. This is a guy who won the World Weightlifting Championship. A guy, when a woman should have had the gold medal. In 2016, Supreme Court says that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. That was to me was like a direct spit in the face of God. When the Supreme Court passed that, to me that was just a spit in the face of God. What about lawlessness? And you look at, right now, people can go and you can loot a store. And if you don't steal over $1,000, it's a misdemeanor. Man, you could take it and sell it, you can sell it to a fence. That's a person who will buy it from you and sell it for a higher price. Just people rape people. They kill people. And they let them loose. Right, all these people that locked themselves up in Columbia University last night, and they were all, or they call them instigators. They're terrorists when they're standing. And I saw the videos when they wouldn't let the Jewish kid pass, and they wouldn't let the Jewish girl pass. You're standing there, you're not going in, you're not going into the library, you're not going to class today. They're terrorists. They were all released. They were all released. You see them come out with their flags? With the Palestinian? And they put the Palestinian flag up on a flagpole and took down the United States of America flag. Just lawless. Anarchy. They're anarchists. The end of the book of Judges? Everyone did what they saw was right in their own eyes. It's anarchy. And you've got Antifa involved in this. There were definitely these Antifa terrorists who were doing this. Pornography. America is the number one exporter of pornography in the world. We export over 60% of the pornography to the world. 60%. The Netherlands is 26%. Gentlemen, take that to heart and to mind. God says, and he talks about pornography in the scriptures. He says that people become so addicted to it in Revelation chapter 9 that in the last days, with all hell breaking loose, they still won't repent from it. It takes control. And now, again, anti-Semitism. It's the rise of of Nazism in America. I've said again, I believe this is the last straw. I've said this to you for years. I've said, with everything going on, you know, Billy Graham's statement, if God does not judge America, he has to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've said, we are going to be judged. But I think that the one thing that has held back the wrath of God, though it is, look, it's being revealed. It's in the cities. It's in the country. It's in the tornadoes. It's in the hurricanes. It's in the floods. It's in the droughts. It's in the fires that are burning up our forests. It's in the little kids in the cities that get killed. You see the pictures of little kids in New York and Chicago, little kids, their little girl sleeping in her bedroom and the bullet comes through and it hits her in the head and she dies, little kid, mostly in minority communities. I don't know if that breaks your heart. Every time I hear on the news that one of those kids have died, some gangbangers are firing their guns out front, and the bullet goes through the house, goes through the sheetrock, and just hits the little kid in the head and kills him. I see those little faces. I see those little faces in the nursery. The rise of anti-Semitism. I was saying this to a couple I was counseling tonight. When we go to Israel, I take you to Yad Vashem. Yad Vashem is the Holocaust Museum. I've gone through it with my wife. I've gone through it with my daughter Rachel and my daughter Chris, and my son Frank has not gone to Israel with me. But it's something that we do at the end of the day, because after we're done there, we don't do anything else because we're all traumatized at what we see, at what the Nazis did to Jewish people and what they did to little children. You know, they killed 600,000 little children, and they actually have a memorial for those little children. And they stripped people nude, and they shot them, and they killed them. And we show that, you know, it shows that as we go through. And it is a track. By the way, if you ever go to Washington, you have to go to the Holocaust Museum, because I hear that it's great, and I've not been there. But once you go through there, you are never the same. So when I see this happening in Germany in the 1930s, this is how it started. It started on the college campuses. And they started to, you know, preach their hatred for the Jews were the cause of all the problems in the world. And they began to spread that. So then you look at our president, who's a puppet, there's strings being attached to him. But the U.S. turning its back on Israel amid the Gaza war. And you see, the protest. I want to say, this is going to be a summer of fire. I want to tell you that. Remember Black Lives Matter? Okay. Watch what happens this summer to the cities in this country. Because it's not going to be on the campuses. It's going to be in the cities. And a friend of mine from the Bronx, African-American guy. And there wasn't a lot of this that happened in this area, but you know what? They set his building on fire. He had no insurance. He worked his whole life with his little grocery store, and he lost everything. And he was the father of one of my clients. Occasionally, he would come to my seminars, and I'd see him sitting there. You hear the chant, from the river to the sea? You know what that means? From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. This has been, the clerics, the mullahs in Iran have been saying this for years, that we want to drive Israel from the Jordan into the Mediterranean and totally wipe out all of Israel. I never in my wildest dreams ever thought that on the floors of Congress, these anti-Semitic Nazi statements would be made. The Squad and dozens of other Democrats vote against the resolution to condemn from the river to the sea chant as anti-Semitic. I said this a year ago. I believe those women are demon-possessed. I believe they're demonized. People said, I got letters, I got emails from people saying, how could you say that? How could you? Well, they hate Israel. They are totally pro the murder of the unborn. They absolutely hate Christianity. Don't mistake that for a second. And folks, you're looking at this. Let me say this to you. The Bible predicts that there would be another attempted genocide by the Antichrist and his hordes against the Jewish people. Do you know who else is included in that? Revelation chapter 13. We're next. When you see these people out there, we're next. Because we stand in opposition to everything that they believe. So true Christians, if we are here during that time, and if it's not the church, it's the believers who come to believe in Jesus after the rapture, but we're next. You know, just, again, the way the media is filled with, our media is like the Politburo of the Soviet Union. In fact, we're becoming like the Soviet Union right now under communism. But the media is the Politburo. It's just, they lie, they just lie all the time. They just say, it's all propaganda and it's all lies. Continuous flow of lies. Want to get the truth? Man, you gotta do some searching on the internet to find somebody who's going to tell you the truth. But it's just, they're brainwashing. They're just brainwashing the people, you know, the people in this country. But the thing that you know, stands out with what is happening right now, again, you see, the media is just, they'll just sugarcoat this stuff. This is a dangerous hour that we are in. Is another Holocaust on the horizon? And again, we will be part of it. Christians. You have Christians stand up in the school and talk about, my grandson dealt with this just the other day, with, you know, just a neighbor, where the neighbor said to him, the Bible was written by the devil, and the devil is God. And my grandson had to stand up for his faith. Little kids. So when your kids are in school, and you get attacked for that. Last point. Intercessory prayer's goal is God's glory. The number one thing is the glory of God, right? I want you to look in these last few verses, Daniel chapter 9, 16 through 19. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Pray that prayer. Your holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are the reproach of all those around us. Now, therefore, our God, hear in the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake. You see the word, the Lord's sake? It is for the Lord's sake. Cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake. It is for the glory of God. It is for his sake. For your city and your people are called by your name. I pray that this message is taken to your heart. I pray that you will begin to pray for the United States of America. Pray for repentance, pray for revival, pray for protection. And not just for you, but you know, as the young people sitting here, you're going to have kids soon. You're going to get married, boys, and you're going to have kids. And your kids are going to have to grow up in this environment. They're going to have kids. Hopefully they'll have kids. But the invitation tonight, stand in the gap. That's from Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. I believe this is what God is doing. I'm sure that this message is going out to churches all over the land right now. Bible-believing churches. Yeah, and that God is calling. He's right now calling the remnant to stand in the gap. Here's the actual word from Ezekiel 22, 30 through 31. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. There have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Between you and God tonight, will you stand in the gap? Don't acknowledge to me. That is a decision you have to make. You're going to begin to pray daily. You're going to pray with zeal. You're going to allow the Holy Spirit to consume you. It's going to take some energy from you. You know, it's going to take you away. It's going to take you away from some joy. Let me just say that. It's going to take you away from some joy in your life. That's what it's done with me. So I have joy, but I can tell you this. There are times where there is no joy, and it is just prayer and pleading with God to have mercy. Okay? Bow your heads with me. Stay where you are. Father, I just pray, Lord God, I pray this is just that you would impress this upon our hearts. And Lord God, listen, if one more person, Lord God, here tonight, Lord, makes that decision to stand in the gap, Lord God, that's one more. I know there will be many more than just one. And that they will begin to intercede and we will call upon your name. Have mercy, Lord God, upon us. We confess our own sins to you, Lord God. And have mercy, Lord God, upon the United States of America. Have mercy, Lord God, upon our president and our Congress and our Senate, the judiciary. Have mercy, Lord God, upon the governors and the mayors. Have mercy, Lord God, upon the churches in this land. Have mercy, Lord God, upon those, Lord God, who, Lord, have been just proclaiming their hatred, Lord God, for Jewish people. Have mercy, Lord God, on all those who are protesting, Lord God, those, Lord God, who are terrorists. Have mercy on them. And have mercy, Lord God, on our land. Heal our land, Lord God. Heal the hearts of your people. Bring us to a place, Lord God, where you renew us and revive us. And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, for the sake, Lord God, of our children, for the sake of our grandchildren, protect this land, Lord God. For in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray this. Amen.